Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
President Trump addressed the United Nations General Assembly today. It was a somewhat awkward moment considering how hostile his administration has been towards the United Nations, and it got off to a rather bizarre start.
In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
Audible laughter in the room at that opening. The president spent most of his speech trying to market his America First policy for the other nations of the world.
I honor the right of every nation in this room to pursue its own customs, beliefs, and traditions. The United States will not tell you how to live or work or worship. We only ask that you honor our sovereignty in return.
He also doubled down on his decision to back out of the Iran nuclear deal.
We cannot allow the world's leading sponsor of terrorism to possess the planet's most dangerous weapons. We cannot allow a regime that chants death to America and that threatens Israel with annihilation to possess the means to deliver a nuclear warhead to any city on earth. Just can't do it. We ask all nations to isolate Iran's regime as long as its aggression continues.
Robin Wright is a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center and a contributing writer to The New Yorker, and she joined me to discuss where the United States currently stands on the global stage.
Well, there's been a distinct change under the Trump administration. For 70 years after World War II, Republican and Democratic administrations committed to different forms of multilateralism, not just through the UN, but through a series of global bodies, regional bodies that helped provide greater security through NATO, the G7 or the G20, the strongest economic alliances in the world, trade agreements that built regional blocks like NAFTA. And the Trump administration has taken a decidedly different tack. It has opted to put America first in across the board in all of its policies. And that has changed the global trend line toward global or multilateral agreements that help foster mutual interests. And the Trump administration, as we've seen over the last 2 years, has walked away from the Paris Climate Accord, from the Iranian nuclear deal, the most important or significant anyway, nuclear non-proliferation agreement in decades. And so that will be the kind of theme that will play out throughout President Trump's week in New York at the United Nations.
You mentioned America First, Robin, and I know that's something that the president has talked extensively about, and we've seen that in his policies and how that idea is beginning to shape. How has the international community responded?
I think that the international community has recognized that not much is going to change during his administration, and so it's quite interesting to watch how the world has reacted and moved on without him, whether it's Canada and Europe and Japan working on their own trade agreements to circumvent the way the United States is, whether it's imposing new tariffs or trying to renegotiate agreements such as NAFTA. China is becoming an increasing power. The five countries that did the nuclear deal and have remained loyal to it, Russia, the European Union, and China, recommitted on Monday night to the principles, and they're going to move on and not impose sanctions. So you see a beginning trend. There's kind of an illusion in the United States that whatever a president does is like a light switch. You can turn it off or on. And President Trump is actually making very profound changes in the structure of global relationships, not just of America's. And this is not something that can be reversed overnight.
And on Wednesday, President Trump has the gavel for the UN Security Council's meeting. How unusual is that? And what can we expect?
Well, the United States has the rotating presidency during this month, so it's not unusual for a president. Others have chaired sessions at the Security Council, but I think this one will be one that will discuss an issue that the rest of the world disagrees on, and that is the Iran nuclear deal. And this is where there's a disconnect, in part because the administration has not put in place Plan B. If you don't agree with the Iran nuclear deal, and there are plenty of issues that you can dispute, but it is the only option out there. What is it that you want? How are you going to get Iran to not go back to developing its nuclear program? And the rest of the world has decided they want to stick with it. There's a UN resolution that passed unanimously after the United States led the world's six major powers into this deal. And the question becomes, again, the world can sit and listen to President Trump, but what are his solutions besides trying to get Iran to do far more voluntarily with no incentives?
Well, and the president has also suggested on Twitter this morning that he has no plans to meet with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani.
Well, there have been mixed messages from this administration. The president had more than once said he was willing to meet with President Rouhani, but others in the administration have said there's no way that the Iranians have to change their behavior on a host of issues, whether it's meddling in the Middle East, its egregious human rights record, its missile tests, before the United States would engage with it again, that they wanted to see a really major change in behavior that almost amounts to regime change. And so I interviewed President Rouhani last night, and he indicated that he was willing to talk to the United States, but he said it's easier to go back to what we were 6 months ago rather than 6 years. And he said that he wasn't willing to see President Trump unless the United States was willing to accept an agreement embraced and negotiated by the previous administration.
Robin Wright is a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Robin, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.